the issue. No, they went back and fixed what Reverend Sizzet did with regard to the environment. And that is the National Association of Evangelical, that they're going back to the global warming denier end of the spectrum. In other words, what they like to call being neutral. You know, sometimes being neutral is a position. Neutral aligns with denier in this particular instance. Name of Dr. E. Calvin Weisner. Why does a mother or a father name their child E? Dr. E. Calvin Weisner. His name is Evelyn. And he went to E. Calvin after having, you know, been beaten up all his life on the playground or something. E. Calvin, by spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship. He says, the National Association has never taken a position on global warming, or more broadly described as climate change, the NAE to bring about such a statement. He went on to say, Weisner did, for example, said that those who disagreed with his position on global warming were in danger of the judgment of God. I think that's going way beyond what is warranted or by any of the scientific evidence. You know, we talked a lot about bricks. ELO runs the possible to get the folks at Cafe Press to brick that folks could access by. And, you know, you can go to the Horn store, get T-shirt, cap, you know, all reasonably priced, very cool stuff. Get on RadioNetwork.com, and there you go. Because that's a rubber brick throwing moment, my friends. Friends and neighbors. I think that's going way beyond what is warranted either in the text of Scripture or by any of the scientific evidence. You know, that people who deny global warming are in danger of the judgment of God. A, because there's no scientific evidence for the God that, you know, that seems to be a sort of goes without saying kind of thing if you have any regard for science whatsoever. And I think that's going way beyond what is warranted either in the text of Scripture or by any of the Scripture. I all learned through various and sundry prayer meeting. I all learned through various and sundry prayer meeting. The text of Scripture is rather a fluid thing. Because the same Scripture that the wingnuts and the use, you know, that God tells man to go and take dominion over the earth, they say that means you can blow up any mountain, pollute any stream, kill, 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 poison, 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 kill, poison, kill, poison, 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 kill, kill, and God's fine with that. Roughly speaking, it's the theological equivalent of suggesting that because the museum now has possession of, arguing that because some fundamentalist has possession or runs the museum where Michelangelo's David is housed, that they are free to go and give David a circumcision. Right? No, not really. Because you can argue that taking dominion over the earth means taking stewardship, towards the fundies like, taking stewardship of the earth and making sure that the earth continues to be habitable for humankind. The peoples who wrote that book had a pretty good idea of what that meant, as they lived in a fragile ecosystem, and if they aren't in their nest, drop dead. I mean, one of their earliest stories is about dead. I mean, one of their earliest stories is about how they overgrazed thing, the land of Canaan. And the next thing you know, they're down. Can I have like a little bit of falafel and some pita bread, please? And you know what flows out of that. So, you know, more insanity. And they hustled right out there to make sure that any good work that Reverend Sizzet had done was undone as quickly as humanly possible. So that's the show tonight on what will be an otherwise shortened week. But we'll be back tomorrow and the night after that. Take a break on Christmas. there is some militancy for me to be back here on Friday. Thank you, everyone, for participating in the many ways in which you always do. Thank you to those of you who have generously contributed to the effort to keep this radio network on the air, both in the long term and in the short. Thank you for generous gifts in the last couple of days. All gifts, all contributions are generous because I know what it's like out there right now. I thank you, and I hope if you haven't, we'll soon join in that effort so that January goes past February, goes past March. In fact, goes as long as you are determined to keep it going. Thank you to PT Professional and Chief Engineer, respectively. It's the hardest working man in Liberal Talk who literally saved Liberal Talk starting in 2002 with. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the Fuller Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org, because they recognize we are all downwind and all downstream. Always, always, always. RMR. Gina. It's all for you.
Everybody, how are you today? How are you today? Yeso, coming to you from the Blue Waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Irons Naples area, Florida. And so glad to be with you this afternoon. Yes, and it's a beautiful day here in Southwest Florida. Another day about 80 degrees or so. Looking forward to several more days like that. Looking here at the studio, I have to tell you something quick here. My brother, who's got a great sense of humor, I love my brother dearly, and he is absolutely, positively, without any question, the greatest guy I have ever known. He's the best human being I think I've ever known. Anyway, he's just a fabulous guy, and he's got a great sense of humor, and he now lives in the Phoenix, Arizona area. He lives in Pinal County, which is just south of Phoenix, just a little ways, and a community called Maricopa. But don't be fooled here. The Maricopa County is Phoenix. The county that Phoenix is in is Maricopa County. He actually lives in a community called Maricopa that is not in Maricopa County. Anyway, you've all heard of that that crazy sheriff, Joe Pio. Have you heard about him? Goofer that he is, just a sheriff out there that dresses everybody in pink underwear and pony sandwiches. He's got an ego the size of Arizona. I can't stand the guy. And round up illegals and put him in jail and cameras in and just he's all for Joe Pio. Coming up with a reality show. Yeah, this of Maricopa County, Arizona is going to have his own reality show. I just can't imagine with this guy's ego what this is going to make. But anyway, he's going to do it. But he dresses all of his inmates. Well, my brother was at an event in the Phoenix area where Sheriff Joe Opio was, and he got him to sign a pair of these pink underwear, and it says, it's your brother guy from Sheriff Joe Opio, and I have these pink underwear here in my possession in the studio today. So talk about a sense of humor. I've never owned a pair of pink underwear. I don't think I shall wear them, but they are a good source of conversation without any question. Joe Opio, I've got an ad here. I think they're going to run for this show he's got coming up.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio is Fox's new America's Toughest Sheriff. He's tough, all right. Tough on hard-working immigrants. And openly engages in racial profiling against anyone who looks like an immigrant. Meanwhile, the sheriff isn't doing anything about the 40,000 felon criminals sitting on his desk. Apparently, tackling real criminals doesn't grab the media spotlight like targeting people based on the color of their skin. Phoenix has called for a federal investigation into Arpaio's tactics. The governor. There are 2,700 lawsuits against Arpaio. Fox is giving Arpaio his own TV show. Oh, the attention he has actually earned. And invest in the Department of Justice.
So there you go. They in that area, they either love him or hate him, to be reprehensible, really. But anyway, we've got this side, I guess the left-hand side. If you're wearing them with these pink underwear, go Joe, sheriffspinkunderwear.com. So, Opio hasn't had enough press out there. He's out to get some more. Speaking of people with low, I don't know if I'm going to use that word, but we mentioned yesterday on the program, clown. This white supremacist, although he says he's not a white supremacist, he and his wife, who named their kids Aryan Nation and Adolf Hitler, and the grocery store would not make a cake with the kid's birthday name on it, a birthday cake with the name Adolf Hitler on it. Well, I suppose some of you have heard on the news last night, who would make the cake saying happy birthday, Adolf Hitler? There's always somebody that would do it. Now, I believe in free speech, you know, but I wouldn't do this. I would. Good old Wally. Walmart, they'd make the cake that said happy birthday, Adolf Hitler, on it. So, you know, to his own, happy birthday, Adolf Hitler. A kid named Himmler. Walmart would do it, didn't you? Hey, there's a buck in it. And them do it. The cake was probably baked in China and sent over, who knows. Containers full of cakes baked in China using that tainted milk that came from China. Man, I tell you, I'd be careful about eating anything that they said came from China nowadays after that. I know a couple of Chinese people very, very well, and they're appalled by what took place with that baby milk deal going on over in China. Anyway, I digress. are you working on that Christmas shopping? I'm done with mine. Been done. I made I don't know, maybe a 10-minute trip out to the store. That did it. Didn't take me long. Less this year than ever before. Spent less this year than ever before. Had to spend less this year than ever before. So, lest you think we radio hosts rue. I do have an idea to make. I have an idea to make an absolute thing better up north. Are suffering from inkling. Of course, having lived there most of my life, I know that the carnivals and the fairs in July, well, a few in September. But here in Florida, they have carnival year-round. And I remember when the one is that they have here, they usually time them to coincide with now, December and January, and it's when all the snowbirds come down. And so they can get better crowds at the county fair. The county fair's truth, they don't have near the agricultural theme to them as they do up north. And I know the people that are native Floridians, they just hate it. Hate it, I'm telling you, when people like me who've moved in here in the last dozen years or so, when we talk about how great things are up north. Well, if you think things are so great up north, why don't you go back? That's what you hear from them. But really and truly, the county fairs are more carny-like here and not so agriculturally themed as they are up north. But I thought of a way to make an absolute fortune in light of what's happened in the news here the past few days. You ever been to the fair or a carnival where they have that bozo, the clown, sitting up on the dunk tank? You get to throw softballs at him? And you know, he cusses and he vibes with your wife or your girlfriend. And, hey, where'd you get the ugly one? All sorts of insults to anybody walking by. Have you ever seen that? I mean, the meaner, nastier the clown is, the more business they do because, you know, any guy worth his salt, he gets his wife or girlfriend and he's going to go up there and grab some of those softballs and throw that bucks until they dunk him in the tank. Well, I thought, dressed up as Bush, you can get one of those good makeup jobs done and get somebody that really looks like Jim, put him up there on the dunk tank and, you know, have him throw tats at people. He could yell, mission accomplished. You get fool me once, fool me twice, and like that. And we could throw shoes at him. And we could throw shoes to dunk him in the dunk tank. Wouldn't it be good? We have a big old pile of used shoes there. I mean, we could get them cheap. We could get people to donate the shoes, I'm sure. But wouldn't that be a hoot? Ah, yes. 866-546-5254. I have a note around here. What did I do with this note? You know, I'm so bad at making myself notes and then misplacing them. Where did we put it? I wanted to ask you about something coming up on the calendar. And I don't... Don't tell me I misplaced that. I did. Well, I'll look for it here for a moment in my stack, as some of the people want to say. Here it is. What do you have your calendar out yet? Do you look very far in the future? What are you doing on April 18, 2036? Look very far in the future. What are you doing on April 18, 2036? Check it out. That happens to be Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, 836. Now, that's only 28 years from now, around 28 years from now. And I just want to end. Because if you do, I can help you out with that particular date. Make any big plans for Easter Sunday 2036. Is a 1,000 feet wide asteroid, 50 million tons, as discovered in 2004, about 17 million miles from Earth, and the asteroid has a 1 in 44,000 chance of slamming into Earth on Easter Sunday, April 13, 2036. The damage, according to a distinguished group of scientists chartered with studying and warding off asteroids, would be, quote, devastating. Well, what do you know about that? A 50 million ton asteroid hitting the Earth, and they're saying it would be devastating. I think that's kind of an understatement. They say they have not eliminated the threat in 2036.
So you
may want to get ready for that. They've got a committee whose task it is to review the various methods that have been proposed to deflect or destroy an incoming asteroid. I saw a movie like that once. Oh, who was in that? Anyway, up and they got on some sort of an asteroid or something that was coming, put in nuclear weapons into it, and they blew the thing all to the earth. So, anyway, that is one of the things they're talking about. Conventional explosives or a spacecraft pull the asteroid off of its course. Offbeat ideas, right? So the sun's rays would heat it differently. And alter. Now, who's going to go paint the thing? And a gravity tractor, a satellite asteroid, gently nudging it aside. So far, NASA has spent $41 million detection and deflection, but the near-Earth object program is running out of money. Well, they better find a couple of bucks. So mark that down for future reference, April 13th, 2036. You might not want to be out having a picnic that day. I don't know. It's only 28 years from now. Let me see. I'll be... Ooh. Don't think I'll be seeing it. Anyway. Thanks for joining us here today. I see that Mr. Bush, and I wasn't going to talk about him, but I can't help it. I just can't help it. When I see the President of the United States and his Vice President, Mr. Cheney, Hadley, and some of the others out trying desperately to rewrite history, I am appalled at these people. I'm more appalled that there are still 19% of the people in this country will say that they will miss him. We'll miss him. Now, maybe a lot of those people are comedians and people like me. I don't know. I personally hope that when he goes away, that I never, ever in my life ever hear another word about him other than being, I never want to see his face again. Never. Or Cheney. I just am sick to death of him. I think most of it, well, about 80% of us are. But I can't imagine being Junior Bush right now. I just can't. Because let's go through something here. Stick with me for a moment. Let's assume, and it's a big assumption, I know, but let's assume that Junior Bush has some sort of normal intelligence. And stop laughing and stay with me on this. Let's just assume he's got normal intelligence, maybe an average IQ. If you had normal intelligence and a sound mind, you'd be able to look at the past 8 years and understand that your term in office was at the very best, one of the worst presidential administrations in history. And at the very least, just a totally unmitigated. Now, supposedly being on mine, wouldn't you realize that your war in Iraq and Afghanistan have both turned out to be that have settled nothing? Your supposed war on terror has led only to an increase in terrorism. The country of Iraq is nothing but an empty with leadership that is at best to the United States. Billions of dollars have been spent, much of it misspent, and caused a much deeper divide between the Muslim nations and the West. Hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqis killed, their family members left with an abiding hatred of all things American. A Taliban in Afghanistan that hasn't been weakened at all and is causing grave concern in that country as to whether or not a dependable government can even be established without the Taliban controlling it. Wouldn't you understand if you were Junior Bush, if you had average intelligence, that our national prestige has dropped to the bottom of the barrel? Wouldn't you know that most of the rest of the world hates us? And in particular, hates you, the president. Wouldn't you have got an old Baghdad correspondent who who sacrificed these size 10 leather shoes to show the world the hatred and the contempt President Dog? Wouldn't the fact that this guy is now a hero in that part of the world cause you to down there and at least have some grave misgiving the whole thing? At home, having a look around at the lost jobs, the meltdown on Wall Street, the greed, the untook and is still taking place there, wouldn't this cause you concern personally? And the housing market? Millions of people being thrown out of their homes because of hard times and greedy lending practices sanctioned by you and your minions. Still millions of kids without health care, millions of adults without health care, millions of kids who can't go on to higher education because of this economy and the spiraling nation. Insurance that isn't affordable, a third of American families, and therefore they go without adequate medical care, and many needlessly because of your very own ignorant policies that favor the rich and the powerful. You're leaving office when our economy is being devastated and we face the worst economic times since Hoover's left office, one Herbert Hoover. You and he have got a lot in common, Bush. Both of you fiddled while Rome burned and didn't seem to care. The question I would love to ask him is, do you understand all of this, Mr. Junior Bush? Do you and your vice president get it? I suspect you do get it, but it's more important right now to try and polish your image for posterity. You and Mr. Cheney and many others, they're out really working hard to rewrite the history, to salvage something, anything, of some kind of a legacy for you. So far, the only thing I've heard that made any sense about your legacy is that you helped provide AIDS relief for Africa. Something any president, maybe for Ronald Reagan, who went to his grave thinking AIDS was nothing but a disease God sent to wipe out a bunch of queers. That's how Ronald Reagan felt about it. But any other president would have done something about the AIDS in Africa, so that's no big feather in your hat. Now we're hearing different versions of how and why the war was started. Admissions from the vice president, actually. I mean, most of these statements are preposterous lies. And it's like you and your friends don't know that there exist hundreds and thousands of hours of audio and videotape of you explaining it one way and then another and dishing out whatever load of crap that worked for the moment on the American people. Mr. Bush, I humbly suggest that before you move out of the White House, that you somehow summon the courage to stand before the American people for the almost total malfeasance of your admission. Apologize for the outright blatant lies you told. Apologize for the trampling of the Constitution. And maybe most importantly of all, apologize to the entire world for violations of the Geneva Convention on War and Torture. If you could be man enough. But if you could be man enough to apologize against the American people and to the people of the Middle East for bringing the horror of war to their homes, maybe you could attain at least a little bit of forgiveness from those people. Not much, I suspect, but at least a little. And if you did that, maybe you could leave office as a disgraced president who at least recognized his mistakes and was sorry for them and asked for forgiveness. In other words, act like a man. But sadly, from all the indications and from everything we hear from them now, this is not what's going to happen. Bush will leave Washington, D.C. in total disgrace. Despised by almost the entire world, he will never again in his life be looked upon as even a decent human being. He will forever ever be known as our most failed president who wasn't care about the people he governed. He will remain, and his name will forever tempt and shame. And he deserved that. And a whole lot more. Cheney. And many of the people that he chose to his despicable administration. Those are the nicest thoughts I can come up with. I don't suppose ever again in my life there'll be a president has such ill feelings for, and many of you I know feel just the same. Oh, my. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us here on the Guy James Show today. 866-546-5254. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah! shopping at Walmart this holiday season, there's a 70% chance the gifts you buy come from communist China. America's largest corporation stocks its shelves with products made in Chinese factories, while more and more American factories are forced to shut down. Behind those prices Walmart likes to brag about, countless American jobs lost overseas. In this race to the bottom, Walmart gets ahead and the middle class gets left behind. America can't afford it any longer.
No, sir, we can't afford it any longer. Can't afford to shop at Walmart. It may make you feel good temporarily. You might save a couple of bucks on something, but then you're dealing with Walmart. Remember that, Walmart, Walmart. I know you might say go in there and save a couple of bucks on something, but think what you're doing to the wages of Americans. Think what you're doing to the small businessmen of America. Think what you're doing. And I know this is a tough to people. I know it is. But I would have a bullet and not do it. We in a convenient place. They offer everything in those stores. I understand the prices are good, but I also understand havoc that they have wreaked upon small business in this country, manufacturers in this country by forcing them. Find out, if you don't believe me, find out what they did to the Vlasic Pick, did to the Huffy Bicycle Company. Find out what they've done to a lot of small. Walmart has not America. Walmart will never be good for America. And also, they have despicable labor practices. They just paid a big fine, a settlement in Minnesota, I believe it was, of some 50-some million dollars. Of forcing people to work off the clock. It's a common practice at Walmart. A common practice. They paid the fine so that they wouldn't dig any deeper. But please, if you're out shopping this year, if you're thinking about pulling into one of those Walmart stores, think about going to somebody else. Think about paying a few cents more and going someplace else. Just my opinion. Things are tough this year at Christmas time. I know many not doing any Christmas shopping. I know many people have cut back drastically on their gifts, on their meals, on their travel. I know a lady who didn't Christmas tree this year. Probably they've had a Christmas tree, someone that so enjoys the holiday season. I don't know that just because there's no tree there that the holiday will still have friends and family around at Christmas time, but we are in this condition in this country that even a Christmas tree is not within the realm for a lot of people. Isn't it sad? There'll be a lot of people going without this year. And I'm off the wild Christmas buying and for many, many years. It had to be. And I know when I was a kid, mother terribly at Christmas time. We got everything we wanted, always. My father loved Christmas. But as soon as you know, we've spoken about recently about some of us having parents that, and they were out to make sure they didn't suffer like they did during the Depression, so they couldn't do too much for the kids. And probably, no question about it, no probably in there, they did spoil us. So Christmas was a delight at my home when I was a kid. Always had it. I wasn't rich, but the parents made sure that we had a wonderful Christmas every year. And I look back upon it now, and the Christmas was wonderful. I don't remember a lot of the presents. I remember the dinner. And I remember the family and the togetherness and the wonderful way we celebrated and went to church and sang the Christmas carols and went caroling and went sledding and all those. Those are the things I remember. Not so much the presents. And I think it's the same with just about everybody, that sooner or later they forget about the materialistic end of it. After all, how many things can you have? I hope this Christmas season, this holiday season, this Hanukkah season, whatever this season means to you, I hope it is a joyous one, and I wish all of our Christian friends a Merry Christmas, and our Jewish friends a Happy Hanukkah, and Happy St. Nicholas Day, and all those things to whatever you celebrate this time of year, even if you celebrate nothing. I hope you're... So, I think I've covered it all there. I don't know. I know the people at Chrysler are having some trepidation about the holidays in this year. Chrysler's to shut down all 30 a month. But not really. Now, Chrysler announced today that it was going to shut all 30 of its starting this Friday. And ABC News reports that while 46,000 union workers will be shut off from their regular paychecks, the white-collar management will continue to receive their salaries. Now, the UAW workers will not be receiving their regular income. There will be an unknown number of white-collar workers who will not be working as well. But the expectation is that they'll continue to receive their regular salaries during this time. But, and this is a big but here, Chrysler said that the union workers will receive state unemployment benefits as well as supplementary payments from Chrysler based off a union-negotiated formula. So, between the sub-pay, I think they still call it sub-pay, and get just about as much as they were making while working, but the only Michigan and Ohio and whatever other, since St. Louis, Missouri, perhaps, think that what that does to those states, just going to run, won't be able to pay anybody later. It's going to get, if you're working at Chrysler, you're going to have a long vacation month. 52, 54. One of the outgrowths of this terrible economy that we're suffering as kids involved in this is a lot of kids up their hopes and dreams of going to college and getting their degree. Studied and become good students over the years, and now it's time to go away to the university or college, and they cannot. The student loans are drying up. Parents, in many cases, can't afford to send the kids anymore. And it's getting to the point where the universities and colleges may end up having some of the smaller ones close. I know one in Ohio that's closed already for lack of funds. But it may be that many of our universities fail. And then what will happen? What will be the outgrowth of that? I think you know what it will be. The outgrowth of that will be that only the rich, only the privileged, be able to afford a higher education. And more than further make a distinguishment between the classes, those with money will have education, those without will not, as it was 100 years ago. I don't know when exactly student loans started, but I do know the middle class who afford to send their kids to school in the 50s and 60s. And that to the growth of the great middle class. But it's headed the other way now. The rising cost of college, there was an article in the New York Times, the rising cost of college, even before this recession, was really completely out of reach for most of Americans. And there's an outfit called the National Center for Public Policy and Higher Education. Think what public education has done for this country. Think about where we would be without public education. And folks, we're heading that way again. Overall, this report found that public college tuition and fees increased 439% from 1982 to 2007, while the median family income only rose 107%. In other words, the price of fees grew at a rate three times higher, thus leaving out a lot of people out of opportunities. Fold in the last decade, and students from families on average got smaller grants from the colleges they attended than students from more affluent families. And Mr. Patrick Hallen, who's the president of the center, said if we go this way for another 25 years, we will not have an affordable system of higher education come and go very quickly. And when we come out of a recession, Mr. McCallum added, we're really going to be in jeopardy because the educational gap between our workforce and the rest of the world will make it. And we're one of the few countries where 25 to 34-year-olds are less educated than older workers. Middle class has been financing it through debt. The scenario has been that families that have a history of sending kids to college will do whatever it takes, even if that means a huge amount of debt. But low-income students will be less able to afford college. It's becoming more and more rare to send their kids off to school. I know a couple of kids right now who are out of school, are midway through their college education, to drop out and work for a while. When you say, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, too bad you had to work. Well, I had to work when I was in school, and most a lot of kids do. It's so tough now. When I went to the university, I could work in the summertime, in a summer job, and make enough money, I'm talking very close to enough, to go to the university for an entire year, room and board and tuition. You could make that much in the summer. And as I mentioned before, has increased much more rapidly than wages, and so you can no longer do that. Go at all for tuition and living costs and everything else at the university to be, you know, at a minimum of $12,000 a year. Minimum. And you're talking at some of the big universities, the cheapest ones. I'm not sure exactly what it is at Ohio State right now, the biggest, if not one of the universities in the country, and one of the least expensive. Still $10,000 or $12,000 to go to school there for a year. But I think that if we don't pay a lot of attention to this end of this, this is going to be one of the things, the end of the line for the American middle class. So many people get themselves deep, deep, deep in debt for a college degree. There's less credit available right now. Are threatened. That's always been one of the things, at least in my lifetime, and many of yours as well, I know. But that's what life, buy yourself a home, put a down payment on a home, get yourself a mortgage, get a decent job, get yourself a car, save for yourself. Those have been the building blocks of the American middle class for quite a long time now. And now is gravely threatened. It'll be interesting. I wish I could look into the future and understand what may take place along those lines a long time and from now, because public education, which is being threatened in so many ways in this country, even on the grade school and with the vouchers and the private schools popping up everywhere, really has been the backbone of the growth of this nation. I believe that. 866-546-5254. 862-54. We're going to break, and we'll be back. How about a little Eva Cassidy for you? Fields.
Jealous sky when we walk. cold. He'll walk in fields of gold.
My good friend Billy Sears turned me on to Eva Cassidy a couple of years ago. I must admit I had for that, but every single song that I've heard Eva Cassidy sing has just been just something. I love her music, and what a loss. She died tragically, I believe, of lymphoma when she was only 36 years old. Never a great talent of any kind. In fact, was a little bit embarrassed about the fame that she was gathering. Liked to be her plain old self, but a magical voice that's so wonderfully entertaining. And isn't it? That's something, as somewhat of a singer myself, I play and sing. That's something that I envy people who have done a lot of recording and all, because it's a way that you can live forever. You can leave these things behind. You can leave the music behind. It will last forever and a day. Wonderful, wonderful way to be remembered. I hear the music of many people who have passed on. I love the golden voice of Luciano Pavarotti. It was last year. And that music lives on. And a lot of my favorite singers, you know. We've all just passed on, but I think it's a wonderful thing, in particular with artists, that they can leave a bit of themselves behind. Not just a written history, but painters and musicians especially. Leave something behind it. 866-546-5254. Didn't mean to get melancholy with you there, but that's how I feel about those things. That's music and art touches me deeply. And I have a great appreciation for both. You are listening here on the Head On Radio Network, and I would love to know how you feel about a particular subject today. I have seen it go both ways. I have an opinion about it myself. What do you think of Obama choosing fundamentalist evangelist Rick Warren to give the invocation for the inaugural? No, many of you. Warren opposed gay civil unions. Speaks out against abortion. and seems to condone violence that the neocons advocate. How do you feel about this? And I'll throw my opinion out there and hope maybe some of you will give yours. When I first heard about it, I was highly offended that would be chosen to give the invocation at the inaugural. Highly offended. And I know it's being done. I know it's being done by Barack Obama to curry favor with the religious right. Well, I think he's badly mistaken. I think he will not curry favor with the religious right. I think he will not get them off those issues, ever. And when the next election comes, it will not have done any good whatsoever. Those are my thoughts on it. Also, we must consider that if we were not going to have anybody like them on the podium at the inaugural, somebody like Rick Warren, another Falwell, as far as I'm concerned, a man that I loathed, but if we're going to be on the inaugural, keep them totally out of it, then do we keep California out of the whole thing because they went for the proposition? Remember, the people voted. The people got it done. Oh, I don't know. I don't know about being politically correct in this. I don't know about being political with this at all. I would rather have seen elect Obama keep Rick Warren out of this, but Mr. Obama says that we can agree to disagree, and we don't have to be nasty about it, and I'm not being nasty about it. I just wanted to state my feelings on the record that I am not in favor of Rick Warren giving an invocation in this Obama inauguration. I am not. Joe Biden is going to be sworn in by Justice Paul Stevens. Aretha Franklin is going to be singing gospel music before turning to soul, and she sang at Bill Clinton's inauguration concert, but not at the inauguration ceremony itself. He's been one of the most prominent evangelical leaders calling for Christians to expand their agenda and confront global problems and problem change and genocide in Darfur. He's, by the way, pastoring a church in Orange County. Many people think this is to the conservative Christian evangelicals, and that might be exactly what it is. People think this is to the conservative Christian evangelicals, and that might be exactly what it is. Yo-Yo Ma's, I look forward to that. I was on a plane with him once. One seat for him and another one Itzhak Perlman is going to be good. I love it. Itzhak Perlman, wonderful musician. And, of course, the Chief Justice will be giving to Barack Hussein Obama. I can't wait. I just can't wait. I'm going to be there. I just can't wait. I'm giddy over it. I actually... News right now at the top of the hour. You are listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Billy Shears, music director, and you will be as well.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. 100 Teamsters drivers from the 12th week of their strike at Oak Harbor, Portland, Oregon. It's a defense of pension and retiree health benefits that the company that are worth less. Marv Deegan is a Teamster retiree at Oak Harbor. He says this is another battle in the war on the middle class.
It's definitely attacked. On this trend continues, the wages will continue to come down and the benefits continue to come down. And, it just continues to bring to a point where we'll be lucky if we have any kind of benefits at all.
Deegan's health care premium recently went from $300 a month to more than $900. With Christmas coming in the midst of a financial crisis, Deegan says many strikers are...
That's an extreme. extremely long strike, and most of them are struggling right now, really beginning to struggle. Some of them are going to probably be losing their homes. That's something that's out of the question. Most of them right now, too, have no health insurance.
Oak Harbor Freight ships merchandise to the guests. To support the strike, go to oakharborteamsters.com. The axe has fallen for one of four Cooper Tire plants. Jesse Russell reports.
The company had been working with the plant since October to conduct capacity studies in an attempt to determine which plant should be closed. On Wednesday, it was announced the plant in Albany, Georgia would be shuttered, and the plant's 1,400 jobs would be cut. Plants will remain open in Texarkana and Tupelo, Mississippi. The Finlay and Texarkana plants offer new contract concessions in order to preserve their jobs. The property will take 12 months, and in the meantime, production at the three plants will be ramped up to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Aetna announced on 1,000 jobs in an attempt to reduce costs. The employees will be let go. Present with the most coming from Aetna's home state of Connecticut. 375 jobs will be cut, an additional 165 coming from Pennsylvania, and the rest from various. Now has experienced a great deal of growth during the last more than 5,000 jobs.
Here is today's economic report. AAA is projecting a decline in holiday travel this year. According to the organization, 2% less Americans will travel 50 miles or less this holiday season. That's the first decline since 2002. Air travel will see the largest decline, falling 9% as compared to the same time last year. Travel by automobile will slip only 1%.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you're thinking of shopping at Walmart this holiday season, there's a 70% chance the gifts you buy come from communist China. America's largest corporation stocks its shelves with products made in Chinese factories, while more and more American factories are forced to shut down. Behind those prices, Walmart likes to brag about countless American jobs lost overseas. In this race to the bottom, Walmart gets ahead and the middle class gets left behind. Ahead and the middle class gets left behind. America can't.
Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, let's get this over with.
Well, this is good. Let me get a
part of this. Any question?
Countdown. Six. Four. Three. Two.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show on Democratic Talk Show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's...
Welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show here on the radio network of America's premier progressive talk network. Thank you for joining us here this afternoon. For joining us every day here at the Horn. We're glad to have you along with us. We really are. 652-54, and without further ado, let me head on over to the... Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
The great Guyismo.
That would be me. I don't know about great. We can argue about the great thing. There's some people think so. There's some people who would definitely disagree with you.
Well, some people would be wrong.
Eric, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Guy. How are you doing?
Excellent.
I want to get into something very superficial and very, very recent, terms of an Associated Press thing, just to add a little bit of levity to what a lot of Americans and people all over the globe are dealing with this time. And if I have your permission, I would like to quote a very short AP release that was done today on the 18th regarding, if you'd like to smell like Burger King, would that be permissible for me to do?
If we'd like to smell like Burger King, I have to hear this now.
Burger King has launched a new men's body scrub.
No.
Which it describes as the scent with a hint of flame broiled meat. Food chain is marketing the product tonight, featuring a photo of its king terrified and naked. Except animal fur strategically placed not to appear. The marketing ploy is the latest in a barrel ad campaigns by the company. Burger King is also in the midst of its Whopper Virgins campaign that features a taste with fast food virgins pitting the Whopper against McDonald's Big Mac. And if any of your listeners have any problem with what I've said here, please Google Associated Press if you'd like to smell a Burger King. Not like a Burger King. That is off a Burger King AP release.
Now, I of course have a question about this.
Yep.
This then would be something that Burger King.
I'm kind of upset right now for a lot of reasons.
You're what?
I'm a little upset about a lot of reasons.
Well,
not related.
The Burger King thing here. Would that be offered as one of the benefit thing that you would get this free?
The AP release did not do that. Originally, I picked it off of. I went originally to the AP to find out where I was coming from, and I have it right in my hand. I think to you, maybe not. I don't know.
That's too good. That's just
sitting here and talking about all this, whatever is though. Well, that's fine. Burger King is
I love
versions
it.
Pitting the McDonald's Big Mac. I mean, any marketing strategy is that for an economy that's actually turning belly up with all the nonsense that we've dealt with, and Burger King does some asinine marketing strategy such as that. I find it pathetic.
Come on, man. Britney Spears has, and Elizabeth Taylor, they both have perfume scent things out that they're selling. Why not the King?
Well, why not the King? But, you know.
I mean, if Britney and Elizabeth Taylor can do it, why not the King? Is that not the weirdest? You know, when those ads that come on for, I haven't seen that one, but when those Burger King ads come on, that King guy, he freaks me out.
That which one?
The Burger King.
Yeah.
He's weird. He's really weird. The King is. I think.
Well, I don't mind weird.
I don't need.
It's a matter of the American public discerning with all this stuff, what they're promoting, and I just don't understand. I was trying to make.
Well, how superficial can you get? Is this actually a product that they're going to sell?
Of course. It is a product. It's Associated Press.
Well, it would drive my that.
I beg your pardon?
And my Yorkie puppies? That's if they smelled that.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about that. You'd hyper. You slap a little bit of that on and walk down the street. You'd have 47 dogs walking behind you in no time.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine what males and females could be dealing with walking down the street with a lack of leash laws with whatever political dynasty that they have in place?
The possibilities are endless.
Anyway, I was trying to be superficial. I'm sorry.
Well, I think you've made it. If you were trying, I think you hit the bar just right. You know, I had to, Eric, since we're being superficial here.
Yes, sir.
And I am a lot. I have to tell you a Burger King story. I want everybody to know just how anal I can be. I don't go to fast food places very often. But
neither do I.
I'm out on the road once in a while in the neighborhood, and there's a Burger King a mile from the studio here. And I fly through there for a cup of coffee in the morning or a Diet Coke, whichever one they have there. I always have to ask. But I go through there, and I've gone through there ever since I've lived in this vicinity, and which has been since Burger King's been here this whole time. And I have noticed that when I pull up to the drive-thru window where they hand the food out, he's got like a quarter of an inch of dust on it. Ketchup smear on the brick right below where they have food. And this ketchup smear has been on there for years. Years, I tell you. And you know how that drip, drip, drip thing kind of works? Things don't bother you, but then the water keeps dripping and finally it gets to you. Well,
yeah, actually, and I worked at Burger King back in the late 70s, the 8 o'clock a.m. Anatomy and physiology class.
Well, you know, there you go.
I fully understand Burger King.
So I called. Now, this is, people want an insight into my personality. Here you go. I called the district manager of Burger King and said, do you know there's been this same ketchup smear that's eye level at the drive-thru window at your local Burger King for at least 5 years and never been cleaned?
And then you got to kind of wonder what Department of Health is doing with the paid personnel that they have there, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, now let me get this straight. You got a number and called the district office to let me know, saying, on the site of one of our buildings for 5 years. And I said, yeah. Is there something wrong with that? He did. He really didn't.
A lot of these people like that, they're very slow, and they have a job, and they understand that in trouble, they would adhere to the job, and I would like to get into those jobs to begin with, professionally.
Well, I think you accomplished your mission, man.
Well,
look how far we've gone
really
with this.
Important, and I really want to say this in addition to digress just a little bit, if I might.
Yeah.
That, and I know you try to be humble about asking for funds, asking for help to keep what you are doing, which I believe is a very valuable service to the American people and to the people that are tuned in to listening to you, that it would be a very important thing outside of the head-on chat room, which is a very, very great chat room, but to your listening audience on the internet. And please keep in mind that you used to be on air before a lot of some people sort of show. It would be a really great thing if people would support even some sort of minimal $5, whatever, support your show. And I think that is a valuable thing that I would really like to get out, that people still questioning people that our Constitution, our freedom of rights, and I really believe that you address these issues extremely adequately, and I would hope that people would like to listen and question your truth, question everybody. Don't accept anything without some kind of the internet chat room for the head-on show that I gave what they needed to Google to get to the superficial. If you smell, or pardon me, if you like to smell like a Burger King, you know, Burger King is promoting a fragrance that you can smell on you so that we can have this little animalistic thing. I'm not sure how the Christians feel about something sort of thing like that, but you know.
Oh yeah, Eric,
please support the Guy James Show.
Eric, thanks so
That's
much.
That's it.
Always good
That's
to
all
hear
I wanted
from you, my
to say,
friend.
Really.
Thanks so much, and thanks for your call. And I love the subject. I'm going to remember this. I got to do some research into this Burger King.
I'll send you an email, guys.
Please do. I look forward to it. Thanks, Eric.
It's very simple.
Bye now. Burger King. Think of that. Think of what you could do with that. And now if you're in shaving and all, dump some of that in both hands and slap it on your face like you would with the old aqua, would you? I don't know. I gotta check this out. I gotta check it out. And by the way, Eric and John and Carolyn, thank you. Thank you. Scott in Sweden, thank God your note today. Thank you very much. From Sweden. Got a note from Sweden in, what is it, 7 days. Not bad. Not bad at all, just especially this time of year. I would like to just take a moment, and those of you that are listening in iTunes and some other venues, would like to remind you that we are, and I do hate to mention, Eric's right, we are a listener-supported program, and we're having one of those times right now where it's very difficult to keep things going, and I know how it is. I know everybody and his brother has been asking for money this year, and I'm still getting letters from presidential candidate and so forth asking for money. But we'd like to keep the show going. We have mentioned that we cannot after the end of January if things don't pick up a little bit. So we just wanted to let you know that. And if you can head on over to theguyjamesshow.com and help us, we appreciate it. Greatly appreciate it. 855-46-5254. 866-546-50. Carl Levin last night. And I was a bit surprised when Levin, who was willing to get an investigating here to check into whether or not there have been crimes committed by the vice, was a bit surprised it was Carl Levin. I really like Levin. And but Carl has always been a little bit on. Now, I'm not calling him a conservative, don't get me wrong. He and Debbie Stabenow represent Michigan very, very well, very well. Every time we go to one of the Senate soirees in Washington, Carl and Debbie are always there, and they're just wonderful people, wonderful people. Just love them both to death. But I was surprised that it was Carl Levin who spoke out last night on the Rachel Maddow show about possible crimes and the torture report and all that. And here's a little audio from that.
Now from Washington is Senator Carl Levin, a Democrat from Michigan. He, of course, is chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Senator Levin, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Great to be with you, Rachel.
So the Armed Services Committee spent about a year and a half preparing this report on the abuse of prisoners in U.S. military custody. There has been some angry pushback from, a seemingly angry pushback from former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. That said, one thing at all, that's Vice President Dick Cheney, who told ABC News this week, approved waterboarding as an interrogation technique for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. When you feel that confirmed the findings of your report, he just admit to condoning torture?
As far as I'm concerned, he doesn't admit supporting torture, but that the policies which were approved, the legal opinions authorized, and when the Vice President of the United States says that, and he said that just, what, a few nights ago, that I can reach other than, I know it's a form of torture. It's been acknowledged as a form of torture, I think, since the Inquisition. McCain, who is the subject of torture, is absolutely clear on it. But I think every authority on waterboarding and torture will say that waterboarding constitutes torture.
One of the things that I think has been so challenging to the American debate about this is that President Bush and Cheney have essentially argued that they have legalized waterboarding, that they have laid think that the actions of their Justice Department made things like wing not war crimes anymore. Are they right?
You can't jump something that's illegal into something that is legal by having a lawyer write it in saying that it's legal. Things can't work that way, or else someone could get a lawyer to say it's not a crime, and then that would be a defense. It is not a defense. I was astounded, frankly, when the Vice President of the United States sort of just blandly and blithely appropriate thing, and yes, he was involved in the discussions about it.
Do there need to be prosecutions? You document very clearly that we have eroded the standards by which prisoners are treated in the United States. How do we unerode those standards if the people who authorized the erosion of those standards are essentially immunized from prosecution?
Well, the first thing we have to do is what we did, at least for the Department of Defense, is to bring to light the facts. What happened here? What was the origin of the use of these techniques? And that's what we did. We went back to Guantanamo and showed that, as a matter of fact, that the highest levels of this government, the president, when he said that the Geneva Convention did not apply, then the Secretary of Defense, when he authorized the use of aggressive techniques, and then the way they spread, first in Afghanistan, then to Iraq, this is the first step on reconstructing the respect of the world for this country, and I'm hopeful that the Obama administration will be taking that direction. We need to have the support of the world in our effort against terrorists.
Senator, I do want to press you a little bit on steps and what the Obama administration might do. It sounds to me, as a layman to me, like when you are assembling these facts and putting together this testimony, what you are doing is collecting the facts. That's not the role of the Senate Armed Services Committee, but that's who think there will be prosecutions, and will you argue that there should be?
What I think the facts which we have to state our conclusions, which we have, where the origin of these techniques were began, and then to the Department of the next administration, because clearly this Justice Department is not willing to take an objective look, to turn over to the next Justice Department all the facts that we can and we have put together, and get our report and the rest of it declassified. But then it seems to me it is appropriate that there be an outside commission appointed to take this out of politics, that would have the clear subpoena authority to get to the parts of this which are not yet clear, and that is the role of the CIA. We looked at the role of the Department of Defense, but the role of the CIA has not yet been looked at. And let an outside commission reach the kind of conclusions which then may or may not lead to indictments or to civil action. But it is not our role. It's not appropriate for us to make those kind of reach those kind of conclusions.
Senator Carl Levin, Democratic.
Senator Carl Levin, Democratic Senator from. He stopped short of saying it, didn't he? Yes, we need to do something about it, but he stopped short of saying, and typical short of saying, yes, I think if Mr. Cheney, name him, is guilty of these transgressions, then he should be prosecuted. Probably not a senator in the United States to come out and say, I think we ought to prosecute Cheney. I'll say it. This torture report that came out is... the New York Times had a story in it about the most American known about the horrors of Abu Ghraib, and not the work of a few low-ranking sociopaths, which I happen to think that Cheney is a high-ranking sociopath. But the New York Times report said all but President Bush's most unquestioning supporters recognized the chain of unprincipled decisions that led to the abuse, torture, and death in prisons run by the American military and intelligence services. Now, a bipartisan report by the Senate Armed Services Committee, and that's what Levin was referencing, has made what amounts to a strong case for bringing criminal charges against former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Oh, yes. His legal counsel, William J. Haynes, and potentially other top officials, including the former White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez and David Addington, and Vice President Dick Cheney's former chief of staff. The report shows how actions by these men led to what happened at Abu Ghraib, in Afghanistan, in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and in secret CIA. It said these top officials, charged with defending the Constitution and America's standing, and introduced interrogation practices based on illegal tortures devised by Chinese agents during the Korean War. Have you seen these movies, of documentaries of those times, whereby United States, the movie makers and all, have demonized the people in other countries? And rightly so. Until the Bush administration, their only use, these tactics in the United States, was to train soldiers to resist what might be done to them if they were captured by a lawless enemy. The officials then issued legally and morally bankrupt documents to justify their actions, starting with a presidential order saying that the Geneva Conventions did not apply to prisoners of the War on Terror. This is the first time any democratic nation has ever unilaterally reinterpreted the convention. But you see, we're special, right? We're special. Ah, yes, we can do it because we're the... And we are the moral authority for the earth. Sat down and made the convention, the Geneva Convention, with wise people from many nations. Never mind that. We can overthrow the United States of America, and we are special. Yes, we're special. Let's move over to the phone. Good afternoon. You're on the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy.
Hi, Dave.
I think your idea about a throwing shoes at Bush would be just a stroke. I think would make a fortune. You're right. Dumping somebody that looked like Bush into a tub of water. But the reason that we have torture is never to get at the truth. It's never to get something out of a witness that wouldn't otherwise say it. It's to get people to say what you want them to say. Because people, when they're being tortured, say, what do you want me to tell you? And then they do. It's the nature of people. And they've been doing that for a long time, and they know that. They know that torturing a person doesn't get the truth. It gets, what'll I have to say to get you to stop doing that to me?
You're exactly right, Dave. So many experts have testified that the information is useless. Many, many experts have testified to that.
They know it's a lie, and they're just trying to get people to say, yes, there's weapons in Iran, or whether they have any idea of whether there's a war, say, yes, that's what it'll take to get you to stop doing it.
John McCain, I mean, the offensive line of one of the pro football teams, just as his co-conspirators, just to get him off his back. So written it in his book. A lot of people know that, but I guess Cheney don't know it, and Stephen Hadley and Rumsfeld and those people, and the list goes on and on. Evidently, they haven't heard.
Well, I think if you could get yourself a booth, a tank of water, and get somebody dressed in a Bush mask and left shoes, not the kind that break bones,
hop off however many feet it is so that you know the wounds wouldn't be mortal. step it off, maybe 40 feet, 30 feet, 30. And, keep any hard heels off of the thing and all that. And step right up, ladies and gentlemen, four for a dollar. I think it'd go well.
Yeah. I always loved your program, and I couldn't get it for the longest time. I had my computer seriously virused on me, but it's been finally it's working again.
It lives again. Lives for another day.
I can't get on any of the chat rooms, not even Mark Levine's. It used to be easy, and certainly I can't get on the head-on one.
Hmm.
Maybe one more time Elo will help me one of these days. ELO.
Yeah. I'm sure
she... Thank you for everything you do, Guy.
Thanks, Dave. Good to hear from you.
You too.
I read a story about some guy that made a car out of wood from Humboldt, California. Handsome-looking car, I must say. It's beautiful. I was going to ask David about that, and I forgot. He probably knows who it is. I don't know how big Humboldt County is. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. How do you feel about the United States just all cocky-like and everything? I supported this. I supported the weapons we used. I supported the torture. Of course, he won't use the word torture, but we all know what they did. He supported all this, and what of it? I would do it again, and I'm glad we did it. I think it was very successful. I'm proud to have been a part of the whole program. That's what the man's saying. In your face, suckers. I, Dick Cheney, have made the decision to do this. And we have carried out my orders, me and Rummy and Hadley and the rest of them, and screw you. And screw the Geneva Convention. We don't give a damn. That's what they've said. How do you feel about your elected officials saying things like that in public? It infuriates me. Of course, Cheney's face infuriates me. All I have to do is see him or Rumsfeld. Oh, I shouldn't be that way. I shouldn't let it get to me like that. But did you know that on his radio show yesterday, Mr. talked about his little experience at the White House Christmas party? Don't you know Rush Limbaugh was at the White House Christmas party? I that's criticized Bush up one side and down to John McCain wasn't even a Republican. Here's a guy who goes to the same party. Elizabeth Hasselbeck is there and all that. Can you imagine the bunch of creeps? Can you imagine? Wouldn't it look to me that Star Trek movie or whatever it was in that bar? Was that the one with the bar with all the freaks in it? Wouldn't it look like something like that? Oh, baby, I can't imagine. Your Limbaughs and I suppose, I don't know, if your Hannitys were there, Elizabeth Hasselbeck and anybody, Mike Gallagher was there, and who else? The Wallace boy, Mike Wallace's boy. He and Gallagher were bragging to one another on Gallagher's program about that. My word. Oh, no, that was the vice presidential one. Excuse me, that was the vice presidential Christmas party. This is for the big boys here. Limbaugh said it was a thrilling evening. And he recounted, this is from Media Matters, or no, it's from Think Progress. He recounted a funny little story about waiting in the president's receiving line with Fox News chairman Rod joked about conspiring with Ailes. Ailes walked up to the president and Mrs. Bush. The president opens his arms, says, "Well, look who," and they started chatting and talking and so forth. And after a while, I finally shone, please. And Bush turned around and had a smile on his face at Limbaugh. "Ailes and I are conspiring." Well, isn't it? The phone. Hello, you're on the guy.
Hi. My name's John. I'm out in Oklahoma, of all places.
Hey, Oklahoma. Okay.
Yeah, one of the few that actually probably listen out here in the great state. I've been listening to The Horn. I think it's a great program you guys have going on here. Wish more people here would actually listen in. But I want to get back to what you were talking about earlier with what's going on with what Cheney said.
Yeah.
You know, I discussed this when I was in college. I'm a recent graduate. Well, actually, let me just touch on that real quick. You know, with everything going on, my generation was raised to work hard, you know, go to college and get out and do something with your life, you know, for your family and for their future. And right now, currently, you know, I'm in the middle class group, and we're definitely, there's no doubt in my mind, because from working in unions, what's going on, that, you know, my future is definitely a descendants group of people that have worked hard their whole life and went to college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, think how many people us. A ton. I know a bunch.
I've got a buddy that actually graduated half a semester ahead of me, and he's done nothing but look. I mean, the job market was horrible anyways because we are a right-to-work state, you know, so the jobs to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're... Where do you... I mean, what is the primary deal in Oklahoma? I mean, I know there's some jobs in oil. There's agricultural jobs, of course, but what else? What's the primary...
I mean, there's nothing. Well, you know, we have the casinos, the Indian casinos, but that's tribal and separate. But as far as like the job market itself goes, I mean, it's either casino related, you know, or you had the construction, which I did. I worked in heat and air for 7 years before I decided to go to college and try to make something out of myself. And what, you know, with the construction slowdown, you've got fast food or, you know, just whatever you can pick up. And Oklahoma is behind the nation, I think, as a whole in our salary scales and everything. Only 25% of the working force, everybody gets their degree in leaps, basically.
And you've got some good schools in Oklahoma. A buddy of mine went to school in Oklahoma. I'm trying to think. It had about initials to it. I'm trying to Southwest.
Oklahoma State University.
Yes, Oklahoma State University. That's right. That's where is Southwest Oklahoma State University?
That's down south.
I'm trying to think what town that's in.
I actually went to one of the smaller colleges here, which at one point in time was nationwide known for the teachers that it turned out. It's still real well known, which is what I originally, my major was originally before I turned, which I'm glad. I mean, teachers in Oklahoma, they have it worse than anybody, I think.
Really?
The starting salaries here is just world war. I mean,
I bet some of the Florida teachers might argue with you over that.
They probably would.
We're not noted for it here either.
Yeah, it's we have all kinds of problems out in here. I've been discussing with my family and sending emails and everything I can, dealing with Coburn and his horn blowing that he's been doing here locally. One of my problems, of course, for me is I graduated in communications, and one of my biggest problems I have is corporate and media. Once you have a knowledge of what takes place at the higher levels and how it trickles down as far as to what the public sees, it's I hate it. Yeah, I don't watch TV at all.
It's kind of ugly, isn't it?
It's a
very ugly story. You got a degree in education?
No, my degree is in MassCom, actually. I work full-time as a graphic designer. I'm fortunate to have a job, but, Oklahoma, our salary scale is definitely well below. I don't know what unemployment is, but it has to be terribly high because, like I said, I have friends and take, whatever I get to survive.
Yeah, it's difficult. The community where I live, I'm in Southwest Florida, in the Naples-Fort Myers area, and in Lee County, Florida, here, the community where the studio sits, unemployment is 9.7% right now. Not a pretty sight. Not pretty at all. We've had a casino nearby here for some time, but they are adding on a hotel, and they've got a new, they're finally letting them be a real casino with roulette tables and all that, before they just had those video games and all. And so they're doing that, and they had a job fair day before yesterday, and huge, huge turnout for people for jobs that didn't pay all that much.
Yeah, and that's how it is with them. I was actually I'm 33. I went to college later in life, like I said, but it was just one of those we really wanted to get ahead, so we fought and struggled, and which one and nine people do. I was not pat myself on the back, say, did he get it done? But my junior and senior year in college, I actually worked jobs here in Oklahoma. And, back to talking about the unions, once a year they would send us to big anti-union meeting. I'd have to say hire the top lawyer in the state to sit there and basically how to handle it and what is so horribly wrong. And, I worked in the union here in the Dayton Tire plant, and I got laid off, which was actually my last job out of college. And you hear it goes back to what everyone says. They're like, oh yeah, they're overpaid, this, that, and the other. And I'm not gonna lie, I did make a good living. I worked a graveyard shift, but I worked around machines, and I know you've had other people say it. Matter of fact, what I was doing, I'd take care of microprocessors on machines that run tests on the tires. They would perform 25 tests. These machines, if they got a hold of me or my partner that was working with me, I mean, they would literally rip you apart and no one would know about it. So, you hear people say this stuff. I know people like you, and I know you do too, that have called in and talked about it. Yes, these jobs pay, but it goes back to what everyone else is saying, and that's what I preach to everyone now. Instead of pointing the finger saying, why are they making so much, how come you're not out? How can we make this much, why aren't we making that amount of money?
Right. some people in my life that had jobs that I thought they were getting the better end of the deal. They were overpaid for what they were doing, but I've known paid, and like you say, in very dangerous jobs, very difficult, hot, sweaty, physically demanding jobs. People work, you know, it's tough work, and a lot of people like to throw stones, but a lot of people wouldn't like to do those jobs either. But so it's really easy to criticize, really easy.
Yeah, it's really insane, and you know, and another thing just popping that I'm originally from Texas, but Oklahoma's been home for the past I don't know 18 years. You know, and we were the only state that went all right this last election. Every county was for McCain.
Oh yeah,
and, and that's just what I live with on a daily basis. And again, innate Oklahoma, I always referred to it, the buckle of the Bible Belt. And for a town of its size, I think 15. But we had 122 churches within. Mm. It's insane, but it's what we deal with here locally, and it's a relief to be able to get on and you know, plug into something that's not coming from Clear Channel straight down my throat.
You're not in Oklahoma City, are you?
I'm in Norman.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm a big college football fan, and I'm an Ohio State man, and I'm trying to think what year it was, but we came down to Norman, and we had a home-and-home series with OU there, and then we played them in Columbus, too, and we split the games. We won the one in Norman, and they won the one in Columbus.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I had a great time in Norman at that football game. I really did. But the night before, and I'm making a serious admission here, I have to ask if it's still here, because one of the most unusual name places that I ever heard of in my life, and I've been around a block a time or two, you know, out partying and all that, but there was a club in Oklahoma City. And I'll just say what it was, a big fancy strip club. And of course, I wouldn't go in there normally, but my friends made me go in. And it was called, this has been a number of years ago, it was called the Med.
No, I haven't heard of that one.
Oh, it's gone then. It had a big, big neon sign out front. I remember when it happened, and it wasn't my fault. anyway, we went down to Norman for the game the next day, and we had had a good time.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that you bring up football, because like I said, and that's my job. I actually work with the great group of guys.
Oh yeah,
boards and you know, photo shoots and stuff of that nature.
Let's see.
No,
oh, okay.
It's Billy Sims.
Sims. Oh
and
yeah.
Jason White. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, of course, now we got Bradford with you know, the big BCS controversy
yeah.
right now. But it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds next year. I've told everybody I work with, you know, if OU does lose and Texas does win, I believe we're going to see a push for a playoff series.
Yeah, that might well happen. It might well happen.
You know, honestly, I'm 100% for it, because it's not conspiracy theories or anything. It's just I feel the BCS plays into everything else as far as politics and power. And
oh, yeah.
I feel, you know, like when you got little teams like Boise State that come in and veto you 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, when they got a 13, it doesn't matter who they're up against. I think they should have a shot.
Yeah, I do, Don. But then again, what will we do to argue about it during the year?
Right.
We'd have to think. Yeah. We'd have to find something else to argue about.
Yeah. I've been listening, and I was like, oh, heck, I'll give it a call. See,
well, I'm glad you do, and I appreciate it very much. And you get room and visit on there. That's easy to do. Yeah, from Oklahoma.
Yeah, one of these days, like I said, I just wanted to let you know that out here in Oklahoma, boys are due.
Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I said that, you know. Thanks so much. Good to hear from you. Bye now. Well, I believe that's the first call we ever had from Oklahoma. I could be wrong. You know, Bartkoff's from Oklahoma, I think. Isn't Bartkoff from Oklahoma? Anybody know who Bartkoff is? I think he's from Oklahoma, I'm pretty sure. I taught my wife the Oklahoma fight song. Came back in there, them in their little Sooner Schooner and the whole deal.